My name is Mike van Dooyweerts, and this is the Supercast, the Let's Not Meet special. I am a woman in my late 30s now, but this happened to me about 10 years ago. I just started working as a therapist at the local insane asylum, so at that point I already encountered enough people with mental issues. I wasn't prepared for the experience I'm about to tell you about, though. It still haunts me to this day. I was on the subway after a long and intense day of work. I tried to relax some and started listening to music on my phone. Then I noticed the guy opposite me was staring directly at me. He had pale skin, half long hair, and a dark but deeply troubled eyes. I stared back, even though I didn't want to. Immediately, I started wondering what his deal was, what his issues were. Professional deformation, I think. The guy kept staring at me with his dark, hollow eyes. I couldn't take it anymore and averted his glance. I tried to focus my eyes on the other people around me, the dirty floor, the subway lights on the outside. Still though, all this time, I felt like being watched. When I looked again, I saw that he was smiling at me. His smile was incredibly broad. It gave me the chills. I decided to get up and walk to another part of the train. This guy had made me uncomfortable enough. But then, when I was about to walk away, the man stopped smiling and started laughing. It was not as much as a laugh as it was a cackle. The type you would hear in a haunted house or some kid's cartoon. The weird thing was, though, while this guy was laughing like a madman, he just kept staring at the seat I had just left. Well, fortunately, he wasn't following me with his eyes. Still a bit creeped out, I decided to just leave the train a few stops before the one I needed to get off on. I was just going to walk home for the rest of my commute. I wish this would be the only time I saw this man, but no. A few months later, while I was walking home after a night shift at the asylum, I suddenly heard some footsteps coming from the alley next to me. I immediately felt a discomfort and upped my pace. Then, all of a sudden, I heard a voice behind me. "Are you lost, little lady?" said a man's voice. At that point, I should just have continued walking, started running even, but I froze. I turned around and I looked into the eyes of the staring, laughing man. Well, I think it was him, because he now was wearing clown makeup. His hair was painted green, his face white, and he was again wearing a smile on his face, but this time it was painted on. It was one of those exaggerated clown smiles. And to make it any weirder, he was now wearing a purple suit. No, I'm fine, I stumbled, I have to go. In one quick move, the man pulled a gun from his suit jacket. I screamed, threw both my hands in the air. "Please, please don't hurt me. I'm just going home, please." Then he pulled the trigger and out popped a little flag that just said, "POW." It was something you would only see in a cartoon. I yelled and turned around. I started running. Behind me, I heard the man laughing out loud. It was the same cackle. I was now sure that this was the same guy. I finished the few meters home running. Luckily, the man didn't follow me. I did see him one last time though, but not in person. A few months later, I turned on my TV and saw a news report about a criminal on the run for the police. Apparently, he was involved in a bank robbery. My heart jumped when I saw the face of the fugitive on my screen. Green hair, white skin, and a red painted-on smile. This was the cackling man. To the guy in the weird clown makeup, let's not meet again. I was driving home after my night shift. It's not a very long drive to my apartment in New York, but the last week had been hectic, and while I was driving that night, I felt my eyelids getting heavier and heavier. I eventually decided to park my car at a gas station parking lot. I know, not the safest of places, but I was pretty tired and not able to think clearly. Just a power nap and I would be fine, I thought. I parked my car at the almost abandoned parking lot and immediately pushed back my seat. I lay down and dozed off almost instantly. It was a loud bang that woke me up. There was also an underlying sound that was perhaps more upsetting. It was the sound of something crushing. I realized later that it sounded like a bone being crushed. Although I hope this wasn't true. I immediately maneuvered my seat in the upright position and looked around. When I looked forward, I stared right into the face of a man who was standing further along the parking lot. The guy looked at me with the wide open eyes of someone caught in the act. This man was bald and had a really massive build. His body was just enormous. He wore a white suit that made him look like some kind of mob boss, with a cane in his hand to complete the picture. I now saw something, or perhaps even someone, lying on the ground next to him. Before I could process this properly, the guy started waving at me. "Hey!" he yelled. I decided that I didn't want anything to do with whatever the hell was going on and started the engine. The man was now coming over to me in a fast pace, as fast as his enormous body could take him. The tip of his cane was sticking on the asphalt. I shook my hand apologetically, hoping the guy would just realize I was just at the wrong place at the wrong time. But a part of me wondered, what if he just needed help? What if someone bad happened to the person lying on the floor? Yeah, pretty naive, I know. But I waited. The engine still going, hoping this would all turn out well. The man now stood next to my car and started banging on my window. "Open up," he said. I repeated my waving gesture and started driving backwards away from the man. "Open up," the guy was yelling now. "I just want to talk. Hey, what did you see?" I drove away from him and turned my car. The guy followed me some more, waved at me. "What did you see? I just want to talk." I ignored him and left the parking lot, one last time peeking at the guy in white in my rearview mirror. With my heart still pumping in my throat, I drove into New York. While I was waiting at the red traffic light, I suddenly spotted a car in my rearview mirror. Behind the wheel of the Mercedes behind me sat the mobster guy, staring intensely at me. Then I decided to do something very brave and very dangerous, something that could just have ended very badly. I put my foot on the gas pedal and drove past the red light. I drove fast, very fast, hoping my pursuer would give up. In my rearview mirror, I saw a car nearly crashing into the vehicle of the other man. I turned right at the next intersection, even though it was off route. I was just hoping to shake him off. It seemed to have worked, as I couldn't see him anywhere. Maybe he actually lost me or got distracted. There are crime-fighting vigilantes active in the city, after all. After my little detour, I returned home. I immediately checked if all my doors were very securely locked. I closed all my windows, set up the security alarm, and went straight to bed. It took me a while to fall asleep. I kept thinking about the guy in white and the sounds I had heard. I still have no idea what that crushing sound was. And honestly, I don't wish to find out. This happened to me a few years ago. I had been single for half a year, coming out of a long-term relationship, and I was ready to date again. So I decided to give Tinder another try. It didn't take long for me to find a match. Her name was Pam, and she was about 3 years older than me. I was 22 at the time. She had green eyes and a full head of beautiful red hair. I have a thing for redheads, so I fell in love with her instantly. Pam and I got along quite well online and decided after a short chat session that we should meet up. We would see each other at my favorite local bar. On the night of my actual date, I was nervous. I hadn't done this in quite a while. What if she looked nothing like a picture? What if I was just being catfished? She did not disappoint. As soon as she walked in, I instantly recognized her. The green eyes, the astonishing red hair, they all matched. She wore a green dress that night that matched her eye color. We had a lot of fun. We talked and had a few drinks. We shared a lot of information about each other, you know, the usual small talk. I told her that I studied journalism and she told me everything about her greatest passion, plant biology. She was studying to become a botanist. She even told me that she has a greenhouse at home, filled to the rim with lots of exotic plants and trees. The evening flew by, and when I was about to say goodbye to her, she leaned over and asked me if I wanted to see her plants. I said yes. Whether seeing her plants was code for something else or not, it would still be fun hanging out with her some more. I went with her to her home. Without asking if I wanted any, she walked to the kitchen cabinet and pulled out her collection of tea leaves. "I'll make you a cup of tea," she said. That seemed like a great idea to me. I could use something non-alcoholic after all those beers. While the water was boiling, she gave me a little tour in her greenhouse. It was the size of a small shed and it was indeed filled with colorful plants and trees. She let me sniff some plants and shared some facts about the plants I was smelling. After that, we drank our tea and chatted some more. I suddenly wasn't feeling so well, so I decided to go home. But then, just as I had finished my cup, I got this really weird sensation in my body. It started in my arms and legs, but soon spread out to other parts of my body. I can only describe the sensation as that prickly feeling you get when you've been sleeping on your arm for too long. I tried to move my arms, but then realized I wasn't able to. I tried to get up, but I just couldn't. My legs wouldn't move. Soon I lost control over the rest of my body as well and fell over on the couch. I looked at her with a panicked expression on my face. I told her what was going on. "Oh, that," she said. "It will wear off." I asked what was happening, but she stayed quiet. I looked at the empty teacup on the table. She must have put something in my tea, but why? Why would she want to do this to me? Was she crazy? Just my luck. She then started talking again, like nothing happened. This time, Pam went on about all the different poisons you could find in the wild, if you just knew where to look. She talked about it extensively, her eyes twinkling while she spoke. I tried to move again, but still couldn't. Pam now got up. She looked at me and smiled. Then she left the room. When she came back, she had a few plant leaves in her hands. She walked up to me and pushed the leaves under my nose. "Here," she said, "smell this." I did, and I was surprised it actually smelled nice. "Smells great, right?" she asked. She observed me while wearing a smile on her face. I nodded. Suddenly, I felt myself doze off. It must have been some hours later when I woke up. I noticed that I was outside for some reason. I got up and looked around, felt disoriented. For some reason, I was now at the side of some road, just outside the city. Fortunately, I noticed that the feeling in my body had returned. I felt a piece of paper in the palm of my hand. I opened the note. It said, "That was fun. Let's do this again. P." Followed by a smiley face. "Well, Pam, this is not my idea of a perfect date. So, Pam, let's not meet again." I was strolling through the streets of New York when I saw something rushing past me, or rather, someone, because when I took a closer look, it turned out to be a person, dressed in a spandex suit. The suit covered his whole body, including his head. It was red, but there were black patches around his arms and eyes. He was wearing two big swords, crossed on his back. "Damn it!" he called out loud. Then he breathed heavily. I really should have worked out more. Then he noticed me and walked up to me. "Hey, you," he said. "Have you seen a guy about 6 foot?" Then he stopped talking and seemed to observe me. "Wait," he said. "I'm in a story, am I? Why am I in this story? Do you own me now? Did I miss something? You know, it's so confusing with all these corporations buying properties." I told him that yes, he was in a story, but that I was fictional as well. I told him all about my special story project for this podcast. "So let me get this straight," the guy said. "On this podcast, that is usually not even a story podcast, you are parodying an American podcast a lot of Dutch people probably won't even know, and then you're using me in one of your stories without my permission. Am I a joke to you? And why are all these other people villains? Am I a villain? Is that what you're trying to tell me?" I told him it was all done in good fun and that he shouldn't take it that seriously. But the guy just kept ranting on. I had gotten pretty tired of this guy already and started walking away. "Oh yeah, great," he said. "Walk away. Great conversationalist you are. Why did you even bring me into the story in the first place if you won't even listen to me?" I started walking faster. Behind me, I heard the guy say one last thing. "Don't you dare doing a Wolverine story. You hear me?" What a prick this guy was. I hope I never meet him again. En weer terug naar het Nederlands. Ja, dit is een aflevering die ik al een tijd heb willen maken. Ik hoop dat het je een beetje bevallen is. Het is een beetje anders dan anders. Zoals gezegd is het een parodie op een bestaande podcast, namelijk de Let's Not Meet podcast. Ik zal een link in de beschrijving zetten, zodat je ook eens naar het origineel kunt luisteren. En als je die podcast niet kent, dan ken je misschien wel de subreddit, waar die podcast ook verhalen van leent. En daarop staan allemaal encounters met creeps. En het leek mij wel leuk om daar dus een super villain twist aan te geven. Tot zover deze aflevering van de Supercast. Je kunt de Supercast terugvinden op Facebook en audiogeeks.nl. Laat even een reactie achter. Laat me weten wat je bijvoorbeeld vond van deze aflevering. Dat kun je ook doen via de mail supercastpodcast@gmail.com. Verder kun je de Supercast ook vinden op iTunes. En als je daar toch bent, laat dan ook meteen even een beoordeling achter. Ik zou zeggen tot de volgende keer. Oh great, an after credits scene? Really original. It's not like Marvel hasn't done this before. So, your listeners have to sit all through the end of the podcast just for this? For this? Sounds like some poor man's Marvel shit to me.